time Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. My dear friends in Christ, these words in today's gospel might seem rather confusing to us, as if Satan has some power over Christ. But when it mentions that Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit, we're speaking here of the Holy Ghost, not Satan. And some of you might ask, well, why would the Holy Ghost lead Jesus into the desert to be tempted by Satan? And the answer is threefold. First is to teach us that temptation is not a sin. Secondly, to teach us that temptations can come even at the moments that we feel we should be most protected or guarded from them. And thirdly, our Lord allowed Satan to propose three particular temptations, because they include all the temptations that we find ourselves exposed to. And so I'd like today for my sermon to expound on these three points so that we can have a better understanding of temptations. Now, the first point I mentioned was about Jesus being tempted, was to show that temptation is not a sin. And the strongest argument we have for this is the fact that Christ, our Lord, was tempted. And it would be blasphemous to suppose that just because our Lord was tempted, that he was committing sin. We know that temptation only becomes a sin when we consent to it. The word temptation itself means tried or tested. So sin is in yielding or giving consent to these temptations. And oftentimes our Lord sends these temptations to us as to give us opportunities to prove our love for him. And it's in saying no to these temptations that we prove our love for God. St. Paul says, God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also a temptation issue that you may be able to bear it. He says later on in his second epistles to the Corinthians, speaking of Christ, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. And so we see how temptations, if we look at them in the eyes of God, look at these temptations as coming from Almighty God or being allowed by Almighty God, oftentimes temptations do come from our own fault. We put ourselves in occasions of sin willingly, but other times they're sent by God as a trial for us, to prove our love for him. Now, the second point I mentioned about Jesus being tempted was to teach us that temptations can come even when we feel we should be most guarded or protected from them. Oftentimes the devil will tempt us when we're attending Mass, when we're praying the rosary, perhaps after receiving the sacraments, or maybe during our fastings during Lent, when we're performing extra sacrifices. We think during these times we should be most guarded or protected against temptations, but the devil can tempt us whenever he wishes, and he can come in the form of temptations or distracting thoughts during our prayers. But in all these situations, we need to remind ourselves that even so, they're still not sin unless we give consent to these temptations. And our Lord allowed himself to be tempted at such a moment to give us that assurance that there's no sin in such a case. We know he was tempted immediately after his 40 days fast, after being baptized in the Jordan. Right when you think he would be most guarded against these temptations, Once again, obviously, Christ did not yield to these temptations. He gave us an example that we might have confidence in dispelling these temptations that come even in the midst of our prayers and acts of virtue. Now, the third and last point was that our Lord allowed Satan to propose three particular temptations because these include all the temptations to which we are exposed. And I'll briefly go through these three temptations. The first was that Satan tempted Christ to command the stones to be made of bread. In other words, he was tempting him to gratify his hunger, to satisfy his palate, and to give up his sacrifice of fasting. And this is precisely the temptation that many will receive, I'm sure, during Lent, that desire to satisfy our hunger by breaking the fast. This can also be taken in the sense that some may be tempted to take unlawful means to attain earthly goods. But what does our Lord say in response to Satan? He says, "Not on bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And so he shows us here that we need to have a trustful surrender to God's will. We're going to do the very best to provide for ourselves and our families, and the rest we leave to the will of God. We never resort to unlawful means to provide for ourselves or our families. God will take care of us if we do His holy will. The second temptation by which the devil attacks or attempts to attack the Lord is where our Lord is on the pinnacle of the temple, and Satan says, "Cast thyself down." In other words, test your luck. God is good. Sometimes people come out good. And this temptation is for those who are negligent in their faith. The temptation is one of presumption. The devil is going to tempt us that, "Oh, God is good. He'll make sure that I, you know, make a good confession before I die. He'll make sure that I repent. He'll give me time." It is true that God is very good and all merciful, but we know that God is also all just. And so if we continue to live in sin and disregard God's laws and just presume on His mercy, that grace will gradually be taken away from us until eventually there's nothing left and we will not have that grace to turn to God in our final days. We must never presume on God's mercy, but as St. Paul tells us, that we ought to work out our faith in fear and trembling, as we know not when God will call us. Our Lord responds to Satan's temptation. He says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And the third and last temptation which Satan makes against our Lord is the proposition that he will give him all these things, all this world, if he would but fall down and worship him. And this is the temptation to worldly success and pleasures and luxuries of this life to such a degree that we lose our focus on God and we cannot sustain our faith. I've seen this many times where people maybe get out of school and maybe they start having a successful career, and then slowly but surely money starts to become more important than their faith. And so they start taking opportunities to work on Sundays because it's some extra money. And then eventually, because of those weakening of the will, they end up saying, "Well, if I'm not going on these Sundays, well, I could start working every Sunday." And then eventually they just give up going to Mass altogether. Our Lord says, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of our soul, or his soul?" My dear friends in Christ, remember, we have a very short life here on earth. And soon enough, all of us will be spending an eternity in a place decided by how well we spend these few years on earth. And oftentimes we get so caught up in the things of the world that we lose sight of our very purpose of our creation, our very purpose of our life. Now, as we think of our ultimate goal, which is to be happily united with our Lord in heaven, let us remember that there are certainly going to be temptations along the way. And these temptations are to give us an opportunity of proving our love for God. And these are something very pleasing in the eyes of God. Temptation in and of itself, we have to look at as indifferent. It's either going to be good or bad. It's going to be good for us if we overcome it. It'll be bad for us if we give in to it. And remember, too, that the more we give in to temptation, the more we're going to expose ourselves to further temptations. There is a sermon I was listening to, and this priest was saying when he was younger, he went to another confessor, and he was telling the priest, you know, why is it that I'm just constantly being bombarded with sins, or bombarded with temptation, rather? And the priest told him, he said, it's very simple. For all the times that you told the devil yes in your past, God has now given you an opportunity to tell him no, and to say yes to Almighty God. So we can expect that for each time we commit a serious sin, giving in to these temptations, we can expect another temptation of equal gravity for us to have as an opportunity saying no. And every time we say no to the temptation, what are we doing? We're strengthening that resistance to temptation for the future. We're building up that resistance to sin. And so it is that these temptations can be most helpful for us if we look at them in the proper light. So as, you know, if everything in our lives went perfectly as planned, we never had any temptations, I think it would be very difficult for us to prove our love for God. It's through these temptations, through this sacrifice, that we prove our love for God. So whether in times of joy or times of sorrow or temptation, let us never fail to call upon our Lord and hold fast to the faith. In St. James' Epistle, he says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he shall receive the crown of life which God has prepared or promised to them that love him. In the name of the Father,